Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spud Shed app.
Welcome to the show. For those of you that are listening to Sports Day regularly, we will cover everything that has unfolded today. Our Western Bulldogs fan Stephen King, assistant coach, will join us as our first guest about quarter past the hour. So stay tuned for that. Fileti Kaituhu ahead of us tonight. So to Ashton Turner, Bailey Rogers, who plays for Claremont. So many guests coming your way. But the teams are out. The news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. That, amongst other news, Paul Hasby, how are you?
Going well, Carl. Yes, Stephen May is included for the Melbourne team. No change for them. James Jordan, he will be the sub for the Melbourne team. They've got a lot of stability at the moment. At the Bulldogs, though, it's a bit different. Alex Keith and Cody Waitman return. No surprises there. But as we forecast last night, Ryan Gardner, Anthony Scott and Latham Vandermeer goes out omitted. He was struggling a bit with his injury, but he's been omitted. He's been a good player, which means Jason Johannesson keeps his spot in the team. He's had a challenging season himself. But it goes to show, if you take your opportunities like he did in the prelim final, you can get back in the team. It's going to be a cracker, Carl. We're going to talk about this at length tomorrow night. But the other big news today was Voss, the boss for the Carlton Football Club, of course, 8 years after he was sacked as coach of the Brisbane Lions. And isn't it fantastic to see the industry mature a little bit more? We've had Brett Ratten go back after losing his job, and now we have Michael Voss. I think we're catching up that you've got to be better the second time round. Go get more experience like he did spending that time at Port Adelaide. And look, I think he'll do a good job. You've now got Luke Sayers, Brian Cook is going to be a beauty, and now Michael Voss, three established people in those roles. It's been turmoil. Can't debate that, but the team now with Michael Voss, I think, is a good decision. Carl, how did you see it today?
Yes, I think that the appointment is important. I think some stability may now well come the Carlton Football Club's way, given that they've got some very well-credentialed people in positions of power. And, you know, we've been critical of Sayers up to this point. Well, he's got a couple of important people in Brian Cook and now Michael Voss. Michael Voss, second time around, like Brett Ratten, though, we'll see how he goes as a coach. So that is the next challenge. Challenge for the Carlton Football Club is to get better than what they've been over the last few years, and particularly just on the back of David Teague, because I didn't think he did a bad job, but he's now got his marching orders. So that's now the challenge for Michael Voss, is to get them better.
And big expectations too. You walk into that role, you've got to play finals footy next year, and I think they've sacked their last five coaches, so you don't want to go down that track again. But if he doesn't play finals next year and then the year after, where are they? And he's probably in trouble again. But just going back to his Brisbane time, he made the big call to get Brendan Favola to that football club, and they really tried to do what St Kilda did recently, where they topped up with mature players. It didn't work, and sometimes the coach, you can live and die by some of those decisions, and the Favola one, I think, upset a few things at Brisbane.
They've got Pitnett. They've also got De Koning. I just wonder whether Laddams comes into the picture now that he has gone from Port Adelaide.
Huh? Three ruckmen, you reckon? They're pretty good, those
ruckmen. I'm not sure that De Koning is actually a ruckman. I'm still, you know, I'm not overly convinced. He wasn't that great when Pitnett was playing really good footy, and then he went down injured, and then De Koning, who had come off an injury himself, was thrust into the role and didn't set the world on fire. The other signing today at West Coast, Liam Duggan, 3 years.
Yeah, good. He's a great player, great person. A lot of people talk about him maybe being a future captain of that football club. There's a bit of a squeeze there, I think, a salary cap squeeze for the West Coast Eagles, like there is for a lot of teams. But Liam Duggan, very good. I think he needs to settle himself down into that half-back line again. The midfield stuff was okay, but I think he's better on the back line with his pace running out of defence onto that left boot.
Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. The AFL Entertainment was practising at the stadium today. There was a big announcement. Richard Wally is going to do Welcome to Country, as he does sublimely well. But we heard a bit of the flavour, Hayes, and there's a real buzz around Optus Stadium where we're broadcasting from tonight. There's a whole heap of marquees that set up outside. There's a number
sock.
Of people.
There's a big sock.
There's a
up
massive
there.
Big sock on the Metagarrett Bridge. There's going to be a huge big party on the other side of the bridge, which David Short's going to be hosting. We'll have a chat to him later on as well. There's a whole heap of people assembled outside tonight. There's obviously functions galore going on around town. I was at one at the museum. I know you're out at Sandleford. And tomorrow, Hayes, I'm going to be in at Footy Place with Harry Taylor, Mitch Duncan, Brad Shepherd and Jager O'Meara from just after 11 through until 1 o'clock. So anyone that's at a loose end wants to come into the city to hear from some greats of the game, all West Australian boys, then please come in tomorrow for a couple of hours in the middle of our city as we head to the phones. 1-3-3-8. 82 is the number. And Albie is going to be first. And Albie, tonight, mate, we're giving away, thanks to two iconic WA legends, Mrs. Max and Gage Rhodes. So Core of the Night wins a carton of Albie and Mrs. Max pie pack. Albie, you're going to be first in the queue for that, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. I must say, I do partake in the Albie beer quite a bit. It's not very often you get one named after you, so mate, look, I'm a bit worried for Voss, to be honest. I still think that, you know, come the end of next year, they're still going to be wanting Alistair Clarkson, and if they get any indication that Clarko's available, yeah, it almost feels to me like Bossy's got a bit of a caretaker coach role until he's decided he's going to have his year off. And then if they're not playing finals, that's going to be their excuse to kick him out the door. And I'm a bit, yeah, I really hope he does well because I reckon he deserves a second chance. He's an absolute legend. But I just don't know how he's going to go with the Blues. I just don't know if I don't go for him, but I don't think I will trust him with a role, especially when... you know, they were still going after Ross when Teague was there, allegedly, and, you know, they were still interviewing Clarko as, you know, recent as a couple of days ago, even though they had already said it's down to two people, and Ross was one of them. So it's almost like, well, he's the last choice that they wanted, so he really needs to do well or they're just going to get rid of him.
There's a bit of that about it there, isn't there? There's Brad Scott. I think they might have changed. There was Ross Lyon. There was Alistair Clarkson even 2 days before, as you mentioned. But they've given him a three-year deal there, Albie. So you wouldn't have thought the 3 years would probably back up what you're saying. But it was interesting, the comments from Alistair Clarkson the other night on AFL 360 talking about his want to go to a big club in Victoria and mentioned Carlton and Collingwood, that he would love those positions. So you might be right. But I hope he does well. I like the idea of giving a coach a second chance. He's got to be better for it. It's not like he just had 1 or 2 years away working on things. He's been working on for 8 years and he's ran second to a couple of positions. He ran second to David Teague a few years ago. So it's interesting that 2 years later, he's in the top job.
Good on you, Albie. Thank you very much, mate. And yep, you're in the running to win that beer that's named after you. Everyone goes into the running to win the Albie beer and the Mrs. Mize, Mrs. Why do I keep saying that? Mrs. Max pies. Mark in Wandy, g'day.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Not bad.
Hey, so I just wanted to speak to you about a column you wrote in the West Australian about a month ago about trading some Eagles players to the Dockers. Just wanted to know, do you think the Dockers will take them up on that offer?
Who are you talking about?
I think Waterman was in there.
Waterman and Brandon?
I think you're talking about Waterman and Joe Brando, I think it was.
I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out. Look, they haven't done too much business in the past, but my article was basically saying it's time for them to break bread and maybe do some business, and we might see that with Jamie Graham, of course, crossing over. And look, if it makes sense and you can improve your list, you should be able to trade with the team up the road. And I think it's prevented some improvement from both teams because they haven't done that much in the past.
Yeah, it was a really good article.
Oh, appreciate that. Did you read today's one?
I was going to say, I did. I read today's one, Hayes. Are you okay? Are you all right, mate?
I'm okay, but like you premiership guys probably don't understand because you've got the ability to play in the grand final, win the premiership, but for the guys that don't get there, it really does hurt. And I had a lot of messages today from players that resonated with it. One of your old teammates as well was amongst that who missed out of one of the grand finals or two of the grand finals with the West Coast Eagles, but it burns. There's a sense of sadness and failure, and you get introduced and, you know, you got all these premiership players that go to functions and that's what they get introduced as. We don't get that ability. And there's an emptiness, I guess, in your life that you need to fill, and you get over it after a bit of time. But I think I'll still get emotional towards the latter part of my life when grand finals come around.
Yeah, interesting. And love to hear from you if you would like to join in around that scenario. And the other thing I'd like to know is what can the AFL do better? It's a good time of the year to ask that sort of a question. 133-882 is the number. Now, just some other news because we've kicked off on the footy and we'll continue that flow with Stephen King, who's going to join us from the Western Bulldogs. He's an assistant coach there. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. You visit your local Polaris dealer today. Rachel Haynes cracked on the elbow in the nets today. She was sent off for scans. Hopefully be okay. okay, we'll find out. But really important, she was on Tuesday when she made that 93 not out. Hopefully she'll get through that okay. Marcus Stoinis hurt his hammy in the IPL, playing for the Delhi Capitals. He plays for Ricky Ponting's team, and they beat the Sunrisers Hyderabad. David Warner was out for a duck. And the other big news today is that the NRL is going to expand. They have committed to a 17th team, which will be based in Brisbane. And Billy Slater is set to be named as the next coach of the Queensland Maroons. Just some of the other news bubbling around. Let's clear a break. On the other side, we'll come back. Stephen King and you on 133-882.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud lot.
Well, the grand final is getting hotter, seeing functions unfolding outside. A lot of people assembling at Optus Stadium. And for Hyundai forklifts, the driver's choice that will drive your productivity, a man that will be playing a key role with his team, is assistant coach of the Western Bulldogs, Stevie King, who joined us here on Sports Day. Welcome, mate. How are you? Going all right?
Yeah, going well. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Are you enjoying the build-up here in the West?
Yeah, it's unique. Definitely just with us being in quarantine and being probably away from, you know, family, and it's different, but it's been great. Obviously had some great weather for us and just spending quality time with one another. I guess being a bit more isolated over here, it's been a really positive experience.
I saw the boys when they got released from quarantine, you became dirty and clean all of a sudden and out and getting a coffee. What was the first thing you did?
Rowan Smith and myself just went for a good two-hour walk up to Cottesloe and back, and then just been walking around Fremantle itself, so just been exploring and getting a couple of coffees and, yeah, just enjoying this great weather.
Kingy, how was selection, mate? The teams came out today, and unfortunately some players always have to miss out. Ryan Gardner, Anthony Scott and Latham Vandermeer at this point in time, the players that have been omitted. One will be the Medi sub, we'll get to that, but how are those players going?
Oh, look, obviously it's really tough, and, yeah, but I think it was... You know, once Cody and Alex got through, I think, you know, everyone would have been aware inside and outside our four walls that probably they were going to come in and play. So, yeah, look, really unfortunate, but, you know, something that these players will, you know, have to make sure that it drives them the next opportunity they get and just continue their footy journeys and make sure it doesn't define them, but it gives them motivation to continue to become better players in the future.
Footy's about opportunity, and the guys that got their opportunity, Jason Johannesson and Zane Cordy, who came in, when you are in a winning team, a part of a winning team, it's hard to get put out, I guess.
Yeah, it is, and those two boys stood up. I mean, they've obviously been on the big stage before. I think Jace had his best game for probably a couple of years with what he did at Port Adelaide, so he really put his hand up, and Zane was on Charlie Dixon for the majority of, you know, the prelims, so... Both are, you know, really reliable players, and I guess when they've had that experience, they bring, you know, great, I guess, not only experience to themselves of what they bring, but just their teammates as well. They're leaders in their own right. So, yeah, they've had interesting years. They've both been in and out of the team at different stages, but they've really stood up when it counted.
Everybody's talking about Max and the big ruck matchup. You a great ruckman yourself. What's been your advice this week to your ruckman up against Gawn, but also Jackson as well?
Yeah, obviously Max had a game for the ages, didn't he, last time they played. And I think we sort of have, obviously, Steph Martin's come in, and Steph's, you know, obviously was former teammates with Max, and, you know, Steph's got a heap of experience himself. So we've got a few players, you know, obviously, that haven't played against Melbourne this year, and Steph being one of them. So, you know, he's played on Max a lot of times in the past, so he's probably, you know, going to help Tim shoulder a lot of that, Timmy English shoulder a lot of that work against Max. But, yeah, you're not going to be able to stop a player like Max in the form he's in for the entirety of a game. You just have to be smart around what we do and just sort of cater for what he does in game. So I think we've got our heads around what Max is up to and what he can do. We just got to make sure we execute and, you know, the best we can try and limit his influence.
With your midfielders, are all bets off around those stoppages that you're almost backing in Maxi Gawn? He's going to win a lot of the taps, or do you still feel throughout the game at some stoppages it's going to be 50-50 and you're going to back in your rucks?
Yeah, look, I think we've never been a high hit-out team probably for a while now, so we've just had to make sure we get by on understanding the opposition's strengths, where they like to hit, and we just sort of, yeah, go from there. So this will probably won't change a great deal. We just want our rucks to compete and make sure the ball falls in predictable areas. So if we can do that, you know, that's going to help our mids, and you know, the two big rucks are aware that that's their role, and they might not get a hit out on the stat sheet, but if it falls in a predictable area, we're pretty happy with it.
I think the great value of Big Timmy English is that, and he gets probably a little bit more of that luxury now with Steph Martin back in the side, is that he's kicked 19 goals this season. I think he's kicked 16. So he's had a lot of shots, even probably more than Max Gawn if you have a look at it. And the other one that we haven't thrown into this equation is Luke Jackson. I mean, you can put a lot of focus in on Gawny, but Luke Jackson's had a very good season too, hasn't he?
Oh, he has. He's an incredible athlete. I love watching him play, the way he follows up, real energy and athleticism. And, yeah, I mean, he actually spent a lot of time on the ball last week as well with, you know, Max having that luxury of being able to play forward a lot. And, yeah, he's going to be an incredible player. So, yeah, Melbourne are very lucky there to have a couple of, you know, elite big men, under their roof there at the D's.
It's likely that Angus Brayshaw will be given a job on one of your prime movers. What about your tactics? Are you going to assign a job or two to a couple of theirs?
Oh, look, I mean, we traditionally don't. I mean, yeah, you know Brayshaw will probably go to someone. Potentially Harms has done it as well in the past against us. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. But, you know, Bevo's one to try and back ourselves in. Oliver and Petrarca are fantastic players. I think, similar to Max, you're not going to be able to cut out their influence, but if you can try and limit it with what our plans going in are. But traditionally, we're not a team that really have a run with roles. So we've just got to back our depth and our mid to sort of shoulder that responsibility and obviously be aware of how damaging they can be if they get the ball in their hands in certain parts of the ground.
Kingy, we mentioned some of the tough storylines, but there's some really good ones for your team. And I want to start with Josh Shackey because he's been maligned. He was picked number two. He found his way back into the team. He spent some time in defence. He's been in the forward line, but he was important against the Lira against Port Adelaide. And Jake Lever looks like he can play a similar role. Is it going to be the same role for him in this big grand final? It's great to see him take his spot and play well.
Yeah, firstly, I think everyone at our club's just wrapped for Josh. As you said, he's had a interesting sort of build-up into his career, and he's highly touted. Obviously, big men take a bit longer at times, and, he's been thrown up some new challenges by Bevo, as you said, playing down back earlier in the year, and then coming back forward and playing a couple of roles as well. I think that's just the thing that footy throws up. You lose Josh Bruce, and you have to try and invent a different way of getting things done, and Josh has been amazing and, you know, willing to do whatever the team needs from him. So, whether he'll have a specific role, I'm not sure. But, I mean, we obviously, as a coaching group and as a team, know how influential Lever, May, even Petty, you know, they are to the way that they defend. So we're going to have to make sure we're smart with the way we use the ball and just be, and that's with Max dropping back there as well. We just have to be really smart with the way we use the footy.
The other one is Adam Treloar, of course. Collingwood didn't really want him towards the end of last year. They had to get rid of some salary pressure. They did that. He was thrown to your club. You took him, even though you had so many midfielders already a part of your group, but he's had some challenges. He's been away from his partner this year. He's got a young family as well. And, of course, in the first final, it was tough for him. He didn't have his best game, but he certainly bounced back in the other one. I've liked that story.
Yeah, Adam's a pro. He prepares himself as good as any player I've seen in the comp. And, yeah, I mean, everyone, I guess, throughout Australia has had a pretty interesting couple of years with COVID, and Adam's no different with his partner up, you know, following her netball career now up in Queensland. But, you know, he's been fantastic for us. I think people sort of forget he missed 12 weeks with a syndesmosis injury, and that automatically sort of takes you a while to get back to your best. So if Adam had a quiet game, you know, obviously there's people coming out for him, but you knew it wouldn't last for too long just with the way he trains and prepares and what he's done in his past. So he's a terrific player. And when you get an opportunity to get a player like Adam Treloar at your club, you're mad not to grab it regardless of how many types you have similar to him. So he's been really good for us.
The last couple of days, I've done a few functions with Matthew Boyd, of course, a great of the Western Bulldogs, now at the Fremantle Dockers, but he's talked a lot about the Luke Beveridge themes going into games. He's always got one. Can you share anything about the one that he may have going into this game?
I think the big one for us has just been just that underdog mindset. With us, where we've been, where we've had to travel, being locked up in quarantine in different states. And we've got a meeting tomorrow with a team briefing. I reckon Bevo's got something special up his sleeve, which he hasn't really even discussed too much with us. But, he's a fantastic storyteller. The way he thinks about teams, engaging his players into buying in, you know, for what he wants and for each other, he really does create his own stories for his playing groups. And it's really authentic, and you know, it's something that you know I've never witnessed to that degree, you know, in my time in the game prior to working with Luke.
Do any stand out? Boyd, he spoke about he likes to intertwine surfing and different things of his personality into the build up to some of those games. But are there any that have stood out for you?
Oh, like even in 2016 Grand Final, he had a theme about you know, being rock stars and rocking up on the stage and making sure that you shine and not being afraid of the spotlight, embracing it, look forward to it. You know, we were such a young group back then with a team that probably, you know, pretty similar to this year. I mean, just sort of had to do it the hard way. But, yeah, he's very authentic and he's just got great self-belief, not only himself, obviously, but within his players as well. And because it is so genuine, the boys just eat it up and believe in it and really feed off it. So, yeah, I can't wait to, you know, to sit in tomorrow's meeting. It's going to be a beauty, I reckon.
Now, when you're around the swimming pool, do you like to have your shirt off next to Bailey Smith? Because, geez, he had a good six-pack the other day in the photo. Some of us can only dream of that, Kingy.
Oh, yeah, no. I haven't taken my shirt off all trip. you know, there needs to be an older coach's pool somewhere. So, yeah, look, he's an amazing Nick Baz. And, you know, he's building quite a brand, I think, at the moment. He's a unique person, Baz, and, yeah, he's been in terrific form. So as long as he's happy and doing what he's doing, and you know, we're happy and supportive of him.
Yeah, I reckon
getting his rig out there on social media.
Yeah, I reckon he'd be pretty happy. I mean, he put his rig out there on social media, and then all of a sudden he gets a deal from Cotton On. Not bad from, you know, not bad if he can do it, Kingy. Pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can't blame him. So, mad not to.
Good on you, mate. Thank you for joining us. I know that you'll be really keen to see how things unfold over the next day or two. Thanks very much for having a chat to us, mate.
Nah, fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good
really
on you.
Appreciate it.
Stephen King there. Western Bulldogs assistant coach, Hyundai High Performance Forklifts, the newest name in forklifts, the driver's choice that will drive your productivity. Google Hyundai Forklifts. Your calls, everyone, 133-882. What can the AFL do better? That's what I would like to know, because we're coming to the end. And are you satisfied? From what you've seen, you know, you got a good chance to see how things operate when it comes to the big events, and there's been plenty of big events outside of the big event that's going to happen on Saturday. Two iconic WA legends, Mrs. Max and Gage Rhodes, loved, local and fresh, and we've got a carton of LB beer and Mrs. Max pies pack to give away. Your call's next. It's 27 minutes to 7.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Share. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Tell you what, Hayes, everyone must be at an AFL function tonight, because we've got 8 lines for it. Not one of them is ringing. Not one of the lines are ringing. Don't want to win beer. Don't want to win the Mrs. Max Pies pack. 133-882 if you want to have your say. Eagles update. Digging deep on Sports Day is what they do at Digging West. And the news today that Liam Duggan has re-signed for 3 years. That's what we do know. So I did try to put in a call to Duggo today, because he sort of became 6PRs and Sports Days.
He was our guy.
Regular, wasn't he?
Did he shut you down?
Well, he didn't get back to me. He
Come
might be
on
holidays. He's on holidays.
Come on, Liam.
He's officially on holidays.
Don't forget who feeds you.
Well,
Liam.
I didn't go through the front door. I didn't try to go through the club, because I just thought, well, he's on holidays. And a short time ago, on the back of Digging Deep and what great sports people do for West Coast, just like the team at Digger West, the Earth Moving Attachment Specialist, and an old bloke at North Melbourne has just signed a 2-year deal.
Jack Zeeble has got a 2-year deal. Now, I reckon a bit of this is on the back of what happened with Robbie Tarrant. Now, Robbie Tarrant was offered 1 year from North Melbourne. Richmond said, well, we could do with you, because Asprey's retired. He then got 2 years from Richmond, and then North said, oh, geez, we might lose him. We're going to now offer him two. But the damage was done. Of course, we know that Robbie Tarrant will be ending up at the Richmond Football Club. But Jack Zeeble, he only had 1 year offered to him, and now he's got two. But I think two is too much for Jack Zeeble. I know he had a good year. He's coming off a really long-term contract. He was played in the forward line. He got kicked out of that position because he was struggling. He got put in the back line this year and he was better. No doubt about that. But I just think 2 years is too many for Jack Zeeble. I would have given him one with an option if he played well and met the expectations for that year. The other one today was Sam Wiedemann, Carl. He looks like he's committing to Melbourne for another 2 seasons. So he won't play in the grand final. There was a bit of interest around Sam Wiedemann. I know you're probably not the biggest rap on Sam Wiedemann, but are you surprised that he stayed at that football club, given how hard it is to get into that forward line?
Yes and no. I think look, if he wanted to get opportunity, he may have needed to head somewhere else. But
Collingwood looked like a pretty good fit for him. But I do like the fact that he stayed, because the easy option...
Well, he might have got more where he is.
Yeah, the easy option's to go, isn't it? But the hard option is to stay, work your way through it. I don't mind that. Quinton Narkle did something similar the other day. And another departure from the Geelong assistant coaching group today, Matthew Scarlett. He's stepping away from coaching altogether. So that's Matthew Knights, the West Coast Eagles, Corey Enright to St Kilda, and now Matthew Scarlett gone too.
And some sad news tonight, Hayes. John Elliott, the former president of the Carlton Football Club, has sadly passed away. So our condolences to...
Larger than life character, wasn't he?
Absolutely. And obviously did get into some strife back in his time at his club, but certainly played a big part in his day, and sadly has left us. Bo in Thornley joins us. G'day, Bo.
G'day, Carl. G'day, Hayes. I'm on my way to a poker game at Double View, and I was driving past the stadium, and it looks bloody fantastic, but just how gutted I am. The Eagles aren't going to be in there on Saturday.
Yeah, not a good time for our teams to both miss the finals. I think the last time was 2009 that it did happen, so it's a bit of a shame. But what are the stakes in the poker game?
50 buy-in. So hopefully I do all right tonight. But I got the green card from the missus, so that was the main thing.
Normally it's 50 in a bottle of bourbon. Obviously you're driving, so there's no bourbon.
Oh, I'll be leaving the car in the driveway, Carl. I've got some Kerrick whiskey happening, actually. So
good man. Have a great night. Thanks for calling in.
You too. See you, boys.
Good on you, Bo, on his way to the poker night. To Brett in Naranda. G'day, mate.
How you going, guys?
Well.
Just a quick question. I'm with Michael Voss's appointment to the position at Carlton. I'm not a Carlton supporter, but is that a serious upgrade from David Teague, or just a best of the rest sort of thing? Because I think they should have held on to Teague if that was the level of appointment they were going to get.
Well, I don't think it's the coach they wanted, was it, at the start? I think they wanted a bigger name. They wanted to attract somebody. They did talk about an experienced coach, and in the end, they sort of ran out of experienced coaches, with Clarkson saying no, Ross saying no. They probably would have had a crack at Chris Scott. He said no. Brad Scott, I think, said no. So Vossie was the last experienced, outside of Don Pike, who came out just after the Collingwood process to say that he wasn't keen to continue with coaching at this point in his life, citing family reasons and other reasons. But, yeah, he was the last man standing.
Best of the rest, Brett. You've nailed it.
But to compare him against David Teague, it's hard because you just don't know unless you're around them.
Yeah, but wouldn't have they done all this groundwork as a board and that sort of thing to work out and sound out people like Ross Lyon, who I think Carlton dodged a bullet with, by the way, but sound out these experienced coaches if they were going to seriously come on board or not before they went and sacked Teague, and then end up a situation with the best of the rest.
Well, Luke Sayers had already sounded out Ross Lyon. There's no doubt about that. But then what happened was is that he didn't have the numbers on the committee that they set up to actually appoint the new coach. There were two of the other board members of the Carlton Football Club that didn't want Ross Lyon. There was an outgoing CEO that didn't want Ross Lyon. You've then got Brian Cook. I think what Sayers tried to do was get the numbers back in his favour. It still didn't work. So, therefore, they... You know, Ross Lyon ruled himself out of the race. So did a couple of the other more experienced coaches. One was a last gasp, of course, with Alistair Clarkson, all of a sudden became available when he wasn't even in the race. And so, and you had Brad Scott, of course, got the job and was probably always going to take the job at the AFL. So that's where it left them, mate. Ideally, I think, you know, the bloke that's at the head of the fish right now, the Carlton Football Club, wanted Ross Lyon, and he couldn't get his man because he was outvoted.
Yeah. And David Teague's paying the price. And I'm actually quite happy that he's come to my club as an assistant coach.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for your call.
Nice.
Good on you. Brett in Naranda. To Roz in Willerton. G'day, Roz.
Hi, how are you?
We're well.
That's great. I'm so excited that our beautiful city's going to be on display tomorrow to all of Australia and others watching in. I'm going to take my grandsons to the event, and we didn't get tickets, unfortunately, but that's okay. but we'll have fun anyway.
So you're going to the training session tomorrow?
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. Wonder how many they'll get there, Carl?
Well, they'd sold over. I didn't check. I should have checked today. I know they had sold 10,000 tickets yesterday. There was a maximum of 25,000 available. You know, you'd expect that if Roz is bringing the kids, and I think that this is the great opportunity, is that whilst you're not going to maybe have a ticket to the grand final, in Roz's case she doesn't, still prepared to bring the kids along to see some of the guys that these kids would have seen running around playing the game on the telly, and it's how you and I grew up. I was watching the winners on black and white TV back out on the farm in Shackleton.
I was watching you.
Well, there you go. So this is what we're talking about. So we've got this generational change, and you know, young kids walk down the street, don't know who we are now because we've been out of the game for that long, right? It's all about the current group. And
extra 10 kilos doesn't help.
No, no. But this is this is what it's like, mate. When I finished playing, you know, 20 years ago, buddy, about 15 years ago, when I was walking down the street, the kids would say, "Oh, there's the Vista man." That was a bit funny. But anyway, so, you know, life evolves, but this is where you start to get those kids, you bring them down, they see Bonampelli, they see Petrarca, they see Oliver, they see Gorney, they get to cut out the beard, they get to do those things, they get to see the six-pack maybe of a Bailey Smith. I mean, how many young ladies are going to be down there? Get a glimpse.
Do you think the parade will be attended tomorrow?
Well, there is no parade.
There is. There's that the supporters parade. Support.
Yeah, well, I'll be in the city for, of course, a couple of hours tomorrow. I think people seem to be getting behind it. I think all of the local, you'd expect, Melbourne and Western Bulldog supporters clubs, of which there's a couple of thousand, I believe, or up to a couple of thousand in each. So hopefully they'll get their combatants and come together. Good on you. Thanks for your call. Chris, just a quick one before we head to a break, and then we'll be back for more. Gordon and Simon, you're first in the queue. G'day, Chris.
G'day, Carl. Mate, just quickly, just wanted to ring up and say thank you for the effort that you put in last weekend to try and get my young fella a ticket. In your own time, mate. It didn't eventuate, but thank you very much, mate. It's very much appreciated, and I hope you have a good call on the weekend, mate.
Good on you, buddy. No worries. Thanks for your call, and we will clear a break on the other side. Gordon, Simon, and you can join us. It's 6:45.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spudload.
Straight to the calls. The Bottle-O. Got to love your local. Got to love the Bottle-O. For those that have joined us late, Michael Voss is the coach of Carlton. Liam Duggan has signed on at the West Coast Eagles for 3 years. Jack Zeeble, 2 years at the North Melbourne Football Club. And at Forest Place tomorrow, Harry Taylor, Mitch Duncan, Brad Shepherd, Jager O'Meara in the city, if you'd like to head into Footy Place.
And Michael Voss was asked about Sam Petrescu-Seaton today, Carl, and he said he will catch up with him and try and convince him to stay at Carlton. But I doubt that will happen.
Okay, let's go to Gordon in Warmbra. G'day, Gordon.
G'day, fellas. Talking contracts. The sign Michael Voss to a 3-year deal, and they've already put the gas light under him that things will change next year, finals and that. And then you get clubs that sign players for maybe a 5-year deal, and anything can happen in that 5-year deal. They could hopefully touch wood. They're not going to break a leg or anything. But and then the clubs, the contract really means nothing, because they can get rid of you. You can go to another club or go back to where you were born. And I just think if you sign a contract, you abide by it, eh?
All right, Gordon.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that, look, thank you, mate. That's always been an argument, but at the same time, if you can do the same job in another place, then you can get a suitable trade. And if the club's prepared to trade you, like with Chris Judd. Chris Judd wanted to eventually go back to Victoria. A suitable trade was made available through what happened with the Carlton Football Club. Josh Kennedy came to the West Coast Eagles. Chris Marston came to the West Coast Eagles. Both of them turned into premiership players. Josh Kennedy is the all-time greatest goal kicker at the West Coast Eagles. Chris Judd goes on to win a Brownlow medal at Carlton. Deal's done. There are ways in which you can get satisfactory deals done.
The contracts still get honoured, though, when you leave that club. You look at Adam Treloar, he had a contract in place with Collingwood. It still gets done. It's just a matter of who pays that contract. And at the moment, Collingwood will be paying some of that wage.
Jaden Stevenson's as well.
Jaden Stevenson as well. I think even when Trent Crowe went back to Hawthorne, Fremantle paying some of his wage as well.
Let's get to Simon in Coburn. G'day, Simon.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
Just wondering, is there anywhere else in the city you can watch the game instead of going to Optus? If there isn't, we've missed a massive opportunity. Like, if you watch a tennis at Wimbledon, you can go and watch it on Murray's Mound or whatever they call it. Mm. We should have had the parks with big screens.
Well, there's a couple of big screens. A couple of big screens just across the bridge at the Matagara Bridge. Tab Touch. David Short's going to be talking about that later, but I think that's sold out. You've got some big screens at Crown. You've got plenty of pubs.
They're inside. Yeah, but they're inside.
There's a big screen outside here at the ground. Outside.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be like 60, 70,000 people there. We could have had it down in the city on the foreshore with a big one. We could have had food trucks around there. So that would have given business to them. A lot of people would have then gone into the city beforehand, spent money in the city.
Well, there's a lot of pubs.
We kind of missed it.
There's a lot of pubs that
I'm talking
though.
About families. I'm talking about families.
Yeah, fair
with
enough.
Kids. If I wanted to go with my kids, or they're a bit older now, but I'd like to go and sit on the grass, watch a footy, get a burger from a snack man, and do it. We could have got another 20, 30,000 people into the city.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. Good on you, Simon. Good idea. Thank you, mate. Certainly in the running for the Albie beer and Mrs. Max pies pack. Damien and Palmyra to finish us off this hour. How are you, Damien?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Carl and Hayes. Thanks a lot. My gut is out of the point of just WA footy and how much of a big footy-loving state we are, shown by the Dreamtime at the G and the prelim final and the grand final selling out in sort of record time. And my idea to the AFL, obviously they've thrown around things like, you know, a rotating GF, but the G's the G. But maybe in the weeks when they have the bye, right, and you have like a footy frenzy in a particular state. So obviously, in these times, COVID, can't really work, but you bring over, you know, these sort of six games which are played with their sides. They come to a WA, you know, their supporters get to see them, you know, live against other sort of sides, you know, Victorian sides or other in that state, and then have another one in maybe Adelaide who love their footy and can fill out a Adelaide Oval, maybe a Brisbane, but having like a footy frenzy. You know, the Melbourne get a lot of sort of these finals at the end of the year. So, you know, during the year, maybe something like that for outside of states and, you know, give something back to the supporters as well so you can watch them, you know, in their own sort of backyard.
You're taking away from some of those growth markets, though, because you're talking about Gold Coast and some of those teams potentially that may come here. I mean, look, I think financially it makes sense for them to sell a game at the right time, but look, I'm not sure in a normal world how many supporters they will get rocking up to all of those games. Gil McLachlan did say today that he's open and he's spoken to both Essendon and Richmond about the Dreamtime game potentially coming back every 3 years here at Optus Stadium. So they are considering a bit of change on the back of, I think, what they've seen here in the West of how much appetite there is for our great game.
Good on you, Damien. Thanks for your call. I don't mind the idea of a footy frenzy. I'd still love to see State of Origin footy brought back. I still think that, you know, if you intertwine that into an AFL season and you had a game played here between Victoria and South Australia or Victoria and Western Australia, people would come. It would be the best against the best. And I think it's something that is still sadly missing from our football landscape. And I hope that it can be rekindled. Spoke a bit about it this morning with Troy Cook and Chris Mayne, who never got to play for WA, being one of the younger blokes coming through the footy system and never got to play, but he felt that it would have been something that he would have loved to do. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now, after the news, when we come back here on Sports Day, we'll be having a chat to Feliti Kaituhu. He is part of our Wallaby squad and looking forward to taking on Argentina on Saturday. He will join us, as will Ashton Turner. Good win by our WA boys over South Australia to kick off the Marsh Cup. Bailey Rogers, who plays for the Claremont Tigers, who will take on South Fremantle in the WAFL preliminary final. We'll update the latest sports betting markets with David Short, do our chase for charity, and more after the news that's coming up next here on 882 6PR.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now, we kick off this hour with Wallaby Feliti Kaituhu, a man who plays for our Western Force. Great to have him on the program. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
I'm doing well, mate. Thanks for having me. I'm enjoying the tropical weather up here in Townsville. So, yeah, no, it's good.
Wallaby number 945. How does that sound?
Mate, it still doesn't feel real, to be honest. But, yeah, obviously a tremendous honour to represent this country and pull on the Wallaby gold.
Take us back to your first game. You came on after Fainga's sin bin incident, and you played a part too because you helped set up that game-winning penalty from Quade Cooper.
Yeah, mate. There was a bit going on the sidelines after the sin binning. A few tactical decisions to make from the coaching staff in terms of who would go on and off. And, yeah, when I got the nod, I just ran out there and tried to do my best for the team. And thankfully, you know, we had a good shove on there in that final scrum, and Quade was, you know, had ice in his veins and threw over those last 3 points.
4-1 in the second match against South Africa, which you won after the final siren, of course, in that first match. And importantly, you won the cup against South Africa. But it was a really good, clean break. You had a lot of the offloads go your way. And the tackles, 95-50. You only had 6 missed tackles compared to the South Africans, 19. So it was an area of your game that you're on point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of the areas where we were able to see some pay last Saturday night, we have actually been working at for quite some time now, ever since the camp, first camp on the Gold Coast when we assembled. So it's really rewarding to finally see some fruits of our labour and be able to, you know, execute on the night.
A little bit undisciplined though, 17 penalties to 10. That's probably something that you're going to have to look at, right?
A huge area of our game that we're focused on and, you know, trying to make amends. Can't afford to be that ill-disciplined against South Africa, against Argentina, against all these big teams, because they'll punish you in the 22 and, you know, maul or scrum and or kick over 3 points. So, a massive area for us.
Felitti, I was at the game against the All Blacks where I think it was 95-55 when it comes to carries. In this game against South Africa most recently, it was 62-86 in favour of South Africa, and the Kiwis were able to pick you off. This time, when they had possession of the ball, you were able to pick them off. That was a really important part, the turnover.
Yeah, like obviously we spent a lot of time in our attack and always having, you know, many options on offer to play, and I guess it comes down to making and choosing the right option when it comes down to it. And yeah, again, thankfully we were able to execute last Saturday night.
So what about this game coming up against Argentina? They just come off a beating from the Kiwis. How are you approaching this game? Because they can be a very, very formidable team if you let them get their way.
That's exactly right. They're a very physical, very passionate and you know, have some very elusive backs as well. So we know that they pose, you know, a whole new threat. And we understand whilst we saw some success in the last 2 games, we were definitely not, you know, head over our heels and thinking that the job is done, and we just want to build on our previous performances and really start to stamp our authority in terms of how we play our game.
Reece Hodge to play fullback. James O'Connor returns via the bench. So there's a bit of depth on that bench. You're on there as well. But just looking through the list, it's a good sign that some good players are being made wait and work for their positions.
Yeah, competition's always great for positions. It drives everyone to really push and bring the best version of themselves to the team. And, you know, yeah, having someone like James O'Connor on the bench and, you know, his wealth of experience just speaks for itself in terms of the depth we are lucky to have currently.
Rob Liotta gets his first start in the gold jersey. What are the expectations for him?
Yeah, Robbie's a good man. I was lucky enough to debut with him on that first game against the South Africans. So really excited for him. He's been working extremely hard. and just being real patient, waiting for this opportunity. So I have no doubt he'll go out there do the team, do the country and his family proud.
Talking about doing all those things, Michael Hooper's been doing that for a long time. How's he been to you? You've only been there for a short time. He's been there for a long time, most test caps now as captain. But what has he brought to you and also the team from the time that you spent with him?
I think Hoops has obviously been here for quite some time now. He's the most capped captain of Australia. And, you know, obviously that speaks volumes of the man. And it's just been a pleasure to sit in the background and watch how he leads and how he, you know, goes about his preparation from week to week, and see how I can implement parts of that into my game, my preparation, and I guess ultimately how I can potentially lead and help and make others around me better as well.
Felitti, you got, of course, the couple of games that you've got left in this rugby championship against the Argentinians, and then your next fixture is against Japan. It's away from home, and then Scotland and England in Murrayfield and Twickenham, respectively, in November. You must be really looking forward to getting away, although it is still going to come with its challenges, of course.
Yeah, it definitely comes with its challenges. My wife's still over there in Perth and won't be able to see her, unfortunately, due to border restrictions and whatnot. But, you know, I've been working at this dream since I was 5 years old. So, you know, I'm just really excited to be a part of it. And, yeah, you know, just roll with the punches. But, definitely blessed to be in this position. And you know, I guess whatever the role requires, I'm here and willing.
You're knocking on Dave Rennie's door. Come on, Dave, give me a start. I want to get on the run-on team. I want to be in the first 15 because I reckon that'd be every kid's dream. And if you can stay in the first 15, mate, you know you're going to be around a while, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. But I'm not too fussed at the moment. Obviously, I'm always pushing and trying to, you know, knock on that door. But, you know, the main focus is preparing the team and if the team does well, then I do well. So, yeah, that's my focus at the moment.
Good luck, mate, and enjoy your trip overseas. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks, gents.
Felitti Kaituhu here on Sports Day. So it is New Zealand, South Africa. They play the game prior to Australia and Argentina on Saturday. So a double header starts at 5:05 Western Standard Time. The Aussies and Argentinians in action from 8 o'clock. And then there's another game October 2. And the last match of the Rugby Championship comes up between South Africa and New Zealand. And at the moment, the Kiwis are going through this championship undefeated. So they are still the team to beat as we clear a commitment, come back and have a chat to Ashton Turner, bloke who just swung the willow late as WA got the job done against South Australia in the Marsh Cup. The one-day series underway.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and it is time now to have a yak to Ashton Turner, WA all-rounder, although he's been batting a lot more than he's been bowling in more recent times. So, AT, welcome to the show, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks, guys. Thank you for having me. It's nice to get the cricket season domestically underway over in Adelaide, and while it still feels like footy season to a lot of us, summer is around the corner, and with that comes cricket season.
Yeah, well, a couple of your teammates, Josh Phillippe, smacked him around from the top of the order, getting a century. In comes Mitchy Marsh. He makes a lazy 100, and then it was a shame Turner had to probably bat so far down the order, mate, because you're hitting them pretty well yourself.
Yeah, it makes my job a lot easier when those guys are scoring big hundreds at the top of the order. It's exactly what we're after. It's the blueprint for us in one-day cricket, and it's probably no surprise to see those names powering WA towards, a winning total. So it was a great way for us to get our one-day campaign underway. And, I think it's going to be hopefully a sign of things to come for the rest of the summer.
Jason Berendorf with his four wickets was really, really important. And in the end, Alex Carey was really the only one that you couldn't dismiss. He batted really well to carry the bat through the innings. It was a great effort.
Yeah, it was amazing to see. I'm not sure I've seen someone carry their bat in one-day cricket before. It was a
a weird sort of feeling. You know, we felt on top of the game and felt like we were driving the game. But, you know, at one end, there was a guy smacking us around still. So, fortunately, we had so many runs on the board that, you know, we were able to get out of that. And I think our bowlers were brilliant, you know, as they have been for a number of years now. And some guys who are on the fringe of international duties and disappointed to be missing out on World Cup selection were able to take some opportunities and get us some wickets and get us a win.
Geez, you've got some depth, haven't you, AT, in terms of the players? If you look around the squad, there's just about every player that's represented Australia in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, it's awesome, and it's also really difficult in some instances. You know, the selection meetings, I imagine, are pretty extended and grueling, and, you know, that's what successful teams do. They have difficult selection meetings, and, you know, that's no different for us in all formats at the moment. So, you know, it's good to have that healthy competition. It keeps everyone in the playing 11 on their toes, and, you know, we know that with international cricket around the corner and, you know, inevitable injuries, we're always going to have to, you know, test the depth of our squad, and at the moment that's looking pretty healthy.
And what about for you, mate? Did you enjoy your time over there in the West Indies and the tour of Bangladesh as well? Got a couple of opportunities, but good to be back amongst the setup.
Yeah, any time you get to tour with an Australian team is a great opportunity. And, you know, we probably didn't get the bat on the best wickets in the world. And, you know, it's disappointing to lose the T20 series. But personally, I felt like in some really foreign conditions, I was able to learn a lot. And I feel like I'll be better for the run.
How tough is it, some of those wickets over there and the bowlers that they do have?
Yeah, it's nothing like I've ever faced in Australia, that's for sure. You know, you can spend as much time preparing to play on spinning wickets as you want, but, you know, until you get over there and get on the ground, it's really difficult to really understand what you're coming up against. I mean, they play on those conditions all year round. It's, you know, like the reverse of them coming to the whacker and playing on fast bouncy wickets. So, it's something that we haven't been good enough as Australians for a while now, particularly in T20 cricket. But, you know, it's a part of our game, you know, as a team that we're looking to get better at.
And just looking at that depth, the squad has been announced today for the Sheffield Shield. Marsh, Bancroft, Cartwright, Gannon, Green, Inglis, Kelly, Morris, Parrish, Paris, that is, Richardson, Rocciaccioli, Philippi, and also Whiteman. So not included in that. And Mitch Marsh hasn't been included in that. What's going on with him?
Yeah, a couple of the guys who are heading off to the T20 World Cup in a couple of weeks have sort of chosen to focus their attention on white ball cricket. So Mitch and Ash Agar fall into that category, so they're not playing this game. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we've got a pretty good squad at the moment, and competition for spots is fierce. I feel like, you know, through a combination of being pitched for Australia and some injuries over the last couple of years, I, you know, haven't taken the few opportunities that I've had, but I still love playing red ball cricket. And in Western Australia, winning the Sheffield Shield is the top of our list of priorities, and hopefully I'll be a part of it in the near future.
So what happens here for you, mate? Do you know the fixtures from the end of this game?
No, we don't. It's a weird one. We know there's going to be cricket, you know, without big changes to COVID exposure. We're going to be playing some games probably against Tasmania and Queensland, South Australia again, potentially states that we can travel freely between. And I think it's going to look like New South Wales and Victoria are going to have to do some quarantine somewhere before they're able to start playing.
Now, have you had a chat to Marcus Stoinis? I see that last night he might have twinged his hammy a little bit. Do you keep in contact with any of the boys overseas?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't spoken to Marcus since last night, but, you know, you never want to see your mates in the headlines for the wrong reasons. And, you know, we always wish him our teammates well. And, you know, hopefully he was able to get off the ground before he did any serious damage.
Now, when it comes to the scenario that we've seen unfolding over there in Pakistan, and more recently the Kiwis have pulled out, now England have pulled out, we've got an upcoming series, international series involving Australia, and, you know, the difficulties with terrorism in that part of the world. We've seen what's happened more recently in Afghanistan and Australia's stance on that, and the suppression of women that is being talked about. It's a political world that is embroiled with the sport that we play. How does it sit with you, with the current current environment involving Pakistan and Afghanistan as a you know, one of the senior players these days?
Yeah, well, I think Afghanistan's definitely political, and I think that everyone within our code and probably other codes agrees with the stance that Cricket Australia is taking. We've seen women's cricket take off in Australia and in a lot of other countries as well, and we're all 100% behind that and support it. I guess the Pakistan's a little bit different. It's probably less political and more a safety concern. I don't know the real details behind what's caused New Zealand and England to withdraw from their tours, but from my experience being in a similar situation a couple of times, I think generally players get to voice their own opinions and everyone's voice gets heard. And I know within the Australian team, there's some guys leaning one way and other guys leaning the other way. So whatever the board's stance is, I'm not sure, but I also know that Cricket Australia want to have as much cricket being played as possible. Where it's safe, whether that be the unfortunate situation that's going on at the moment or whether that be COVID, like all the fans, the players want to be playing as much cricket as possible. So if everyone's health and safety is looked after, then I'm sure that's going to happen.
Beautiful, mate. We really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. Take care and keep hitting them hard, mate. Good on you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Ashton Turner there from our WA cricket team. Nice to have a yak to him. We are going to continue our build-up to the WAFL Grand Final next. We'll be joined by Bailey Rogers. Had a ripping season for Claremont. Stay with us here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now we continue our build-up to the WAFL Grand Final October 2. And don't forget, tickets are available right now. Subiaco waiting for the winner of this weekend's big game on Sunday. There is a fantastic contest between South Fremantle and Claremont for the right to take on Subiaco in that Grand Final. And it's nice to have Bailey Rogers, who's been one of the stars for the Claremont Tigers this season, joining us here on Sports Day. Bailey, welcome to the show, mate. How are you tracking?
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me. Looking good for the main session tonight. So we're fired up and ready to go on Sunday.
It didn't look good in that third quarter when West Perth got rolling. I thought, here we go. They're out, the Tigers. But credit to your team, you found a way and in the end did it pretty easily.
Yeah, a few nerve-wracking moments there. But as you said, we turned it around, gained some momentum back in the third quarter and kicked a few in a row. So was able to get in touch, be within touch at three-quarter time and kick with the breeze in the last quarter and kick straight, so which got us over the line in the end.
I reckon it was that goal by Rogers just before half-time that continued the momentum. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, he could be right there.
There was a few big goals. When you talk about goal-kicking, they're so important. Jai Bolton nailed one and also Alex Manuel nailed one. And from good distances, and clearly you guys have a lot of confidence going to the left of screen at that ground with the breeze.
At three-quarter time, we did have a bit of confidence. We knew the breeze was behind us. So it made goal-kicking a lot easier than the other end. Jai and Alex did kick them huge goals. I think Giles was, he said 75, 80 metres out, but I think it was just about 60. And Alex's was 55 and cleared the fence. So they were massive goals for us in that final term.
It's not always about the forwards, though. I thought the defenders were really good because you conceded 55 inside 50s in that game and they had momentum for a fair part, particularly early. So the defenders played their part.
Yeah, they were massive, as they have been all year. They're very young also, but it was good to have Anton Ham back, a mature head down there who really settled the younger guys down. Early on, we were a bit rusty coming out of half-back, a few turnovers, which resulted in goals. But I thought as the game went on, we were able to move the ball a lot more, better through the through inside and getting it deep inside 50.
Bailey, you've had some cracking contests against the team you're going to be taking on this weekend for the right to progress to the grand final. You've been on the wrong end of the stick more recently. Fremantle Community Bank Oval, down by 1 point in the end. Hardesty had a kick after the siren and missed. Could have easily gone your way. So it's going to be an intriguing contest.
It is, as it always is. It feels like we've played 20 games in the last 2 years against South Fremantle. But yeah, we've met a few times, especially at Fremantle Oval. So it's always a good hard slog down there, and I'm sure it's going to be another tight one.
How has the focus been with your coach, Ash Prescott, in the lead-up to this game, knowing that there is no next week?
Cliche, but it's just like any other game, really. We haven't really looked too much into it as of yet. We will have a bit of vision tonight and also Saturday morning after our captain's run. So we'll have a better look at South Fremantle then. But, yeah, it's business as usual at the start of this week. So a bit of recovery and a lot of session last night, and we'll ramp into things tonight.
Given that the games have been so tight, tactically, what do you think needs to be a main focus to get the job done?
I think last game 2 weeks ago, we probably just missed our chances in front of goal. We had a fair few scoring shots, a few behinds and a few that didn't score. So I think it's just making the most of your inside 50s and converting when you have the opportunity. I think the game will be won in the midfielders. Most games are. We just have to watch when we go inside 50. South Fremantle will have some very good backs who like to set mark, and we can't play into their hands like that this time around.
What about some of the guys that have spent some time on AFL list? Callan England was really good last week, kicked the 4 goals, and also Jason Carter. It's not always easy to come back and, you know, you got to start again, I guess, and just get amongst your teammates and try and do your best. But how have you seen the season from those two guys?
Yeah, Cal, he's an unbelievable footballer. I still believe he should be on an AFL list. He, to his own admission, will admit that he's been out of form in the last few weeks, but he stepped up at the perfect time on the weekend to kick 4 goals and have 20-odd disposals. He was our best player by far. And really, I think he was the barometer on the weekend, as he likes to call himself. So He got us over the line, I believe. And Carter, he's been solid all year. I don't think he's missed a game, maybe one. But he's really just another mature head down there that's great with the ball and really tearing teams apart with his skills.
How is Jake Patmore going? Is he a chance to return from his injury?
He's very keen. He had a little hiccup 2 weeks ago, so that didn't help. But he's out there, he's on the track, so I'll leave that up to the coaches. I wouldn't want to be picking the side this week.
What about you, Bailey? You've had a terrific season. Many believe you're a fancy for the Sandover medal coming up on Monday night. You must be happy with the consistency that you brought this year.
Yeah, it's been good fun. I've had a lot of fun with my footy this year. I moved into the midfield after a bit of a taste last year. I've just enjoyed being around the footy a lot more. And even getting moving forward and getting on the scoreboard, I just loved having the ability to play inside and go forward to get on the scoreboard. So it's been fun.
You've been getting on the scoreboard a lot, particularly against the West Coast Eagles. I reckon Rogers might be getting the top votes. Hayes, 36 disposals and 3 goals, 3 could have kicked 6.
I know, I've lost a bit of sleep over that on Saturday night, so I don't mind.
hey, Bailey, is the Sandover medal voting still 5-4-3-2-1, or did that change in recent times?
It went back to 3-2-1 last year. So yeah. I'm not sure if that was due to COVID or anything, so we'll have to find out in the night this year.
Who do you like around the league and from your own team besides yourself?
John Bolton, he'll definitely be up there again, as most years. So I think he might take it out. Around the league, there's from Claremont also, Lockie Martinez might poll early. He had a great start to the season, so he went down with an ankle injury maybe a month or two ago. So, but around the league, Aaron Black, he's a star. And there's also Greg Clark from Subiaco, who's had himself a pretty good season also.
Good on you, mate. Thank you for having a yak to us, and good luck for the weekend. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bailey Rogers in the build-up to the WAFL finals on Sunday.
Big decision to be made there. Jake Patmore could come in, but Blake Slenzog, it looks like for South Fremantle, was in a moon boot this week, Carl, so he could be out. That would be a big omission for the Bulldogs. Who are you going towards in this one?
It's hard to split. I'm going to save for tomorrow night.
Hayden Swoyth tomorrow night's going to join us.
So let's save our powder, keep our powder dry. We'll probably have a little bit of an idea of the teams by tomorrow night, so we will give our predictions then as we continue to build up to the WAFL Grand Final, but a huge preliminary final this weekend between South Fremantle and Claremont. The winner to go into the Grand Final October 2. Buy your tickets. Go to Ticketmaster right now and get behind the WAFL Grand Final, because we've got a huge Grand Final. It's full for the AFL, but we want the WAFL Grand Final to be full. Hospitality starts for $129 per person. Include your food and your drink and a great seat. So get along to the Grand Final.
We should just get the same music acts to come back next week and get the 180,000 people that missed out of trying to get a ticket, get involved. And look, the only difference is a slight standard of the game, but it would be fantastic for a big crowd to really back it up and finish the festival of footy we've had here in the West.
Speaking of festivals of footy, David Short's going to be hosting one just across the bridge, the Matagara Bridge I'm talking about. He'll join us next. We'll have a chat to James Broadhurst and our Chase for Charity. We'll be back soon here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and let's get into an odds update with Tab Touch. The race starts when the bet's on Tab Touch. Better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858. And a man that's going to be starring at the Bridge Bar just across the Matagara Bridge at the big Tab Touch event. It is also in conjunction with the wonderful team at Gloucester Park, the Bridge Bar, where all the action is going to unfold, Shorty. And it's going to be enjoyed by many, I hear.
Indeed, yeah. Big, big crowd, sellout event, and there'll be wonderful hype. It's going to be superb. We'll have Jack Redden and Josh Kennedy joining us as well pre-game to get their thoughts on the game and analysis and all the games on the big screen. Plenty of giveaways. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. Can't wait for it.
And everybody loves a bet on the grand final. I bet there's plenty of market, Shorty.
Oh, you are not joking, Hayes. Well, one thing I will say surprises me in relation to betting on this game. From the moment that we posted the odds for the grand final, it hasn't budged so much as a cent either way. So obviously a lot of the punters thinking the market's pretty much bang on. I thought they were a little far apart personally, but the market hasn't changed on the way through. So it's still Melbourne $1.65, Western Bulldogs at $2.25. The line's a giveaway that everyone's expecting it to be fairly tight. It sits at just 7.5 points. A stack of novelty markets on the big game. First goal scorer betting. Ben Brown's been well back. 10 into 9 from yesterday. It was 10, so he's been well back. Darren Norton at 10. Bailey Fritch at 10. Cody Waitman's there. He's a real live wire early for the Dogs. He's at 13. 14 for McDonald. Petrarca at 15. Cozzy Pickett at 15. Tim English at 15. Interesting, at bigger odds, Tom Liberatore, if I'm not mistaken, kicked the first couple of goals for the Doggies in their most recent prelim final, and he's a $34 chance to get the job done for the early goal in the grand final, boys, if you're looking for one at crazy odds.
What about the Norm Smith medal?
Well, again, there's been a little bit of movement in this market. The two Melbourne mids are most popular to this point. Clayton Oliver at $6. Christian Petrarca at $7. The Bonts there at $7.50. Maxi Gawn at $8. Jack McRae's an $11 chance. The move has been Bailey Smith. That mullet may well attract the attention of the judges if the Doggies get the job done. 17 into $13, Bailey Smith. Tom Liberatore at 17. Jack Viney, 21. All other runners, 23 and upwards. Who do you boys like for the Normie?
I like Petrarca, but I'm willing to put a little bit on Kasiah Pickett just in case he kicks the four goals, which may be enough.
I'm going to go Gawney. If Gawney can reproduce what we saw the last game, Shorty, and I'm hoping, well, expecting, no, hoping that Melbourne win.
Okay, so Pickett's at 51 and Big Maxi there, an $8 chance. Yeah, if he kicks goals as well as dominates through the middle of the ground, Carlos, he'd be pretty solid chance, I'd expect, the big fellow.
What about in the NRL? There's some games going on this weekend too.
Yeah, just quickly before we head away, very, very unique. We've got a market up for the grand final sprint, boys. Oh. Jack Petrocelli, $1.45. Liam Ryan, $7. Liam Henry, $7. 11 for Hughes, 18 for Rotham. Andrew Brayshaw at 26. Tom Cole at 26. And Luke Ryan is a $41 chance. Is Petrocelli put in takeout?
I think so, but Brayshaw's way over the odds. He's been in this race before, and he's shown a bit.
26 big ones. Let's have a look at those NRL preliminary finals this weekend. Really interesting games to look forward to here. A couple, though, that both of them really will expect to see good encounters. Melbourne, warm favourites at $1.33, Penrith $3.40. The other games, South Sydney $1.74, Manly $2.15, expected to be a little bit tighter. If you want to back the premiership winner as it sits now going into this weekend, all the money's been for the Storm. They're now into $1.80, $5 the Panthers, South Sydney $5.50, and Manly at $6.50.
Cricket's back, Shorty. Any markets for us in the cricket?
Yeah, lots to look forward to from the cricket. The IPL continues on, and also plenty of domestic action as well for the punters to get involved with there. India Premier League action for tonight. Later on, we get to see Mumbai $1.65 taking on Kolkata at $2.25. Watch out for domestic markets as well. Great to see the West Aussies off to a flyer there yesterday up against the Redbacks.
Now, Moonee Valley, traditionally on a Friday night over there in Victoria, and the Group 3 JRA Cup for someone to have a look at tomorrow night.
Absolutely. They'll be spewing that they don't have the grand final the next day in their backyard, but at least they've got what will be a tremendous night of racing. And the Group 1 Moy is the one we want to really focus in on here. Profiteer $3.90. The Inferno $5. Wild Ruler at $7. And September Run is a $9 chance. And the JRA Cup Defibrillate $4. Homesman $4.80. And Secret Blaze at $5.50.
All right, beautiful, mate. How do we get on? And, of course, there's heaps of other racing action across the country, including right here in Western Australia at beautiful sunny Belmont. Fine and 27 degrees forecast for Saturday. You, of course, will be across the bridge there at Gloucester Park. How do we get on?
You can drop into any TAB agency statewide. Head to tabtouch.com.au or call 1-3-2-3-6-8. If you are going to have a punt, please do it responsibly. And just a reminder, if you're going to the big game and you're looking to have a punt at Optus Stadium, there are no ATMs. So if you want to have a bet at the game, make sure you take some cash with you to have a wager at the TAB facilities there that are on site at Optus Stadium for the grand final.
Or download the app and do it right on your phone, thanks to Tab Touch. Good on you, Shorty.
Cheers, guys. All the best. Enjoy the big game.
Good on you. With Tab Touch, the race starts when the bet's on. Tab Touch, better your bet. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help on 1800 858 858. Now, let's get into our Chase for Charity brought to you by Greyhounds WA. And joining us is James Broadhurst. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
Good evening. I'm going well. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're going terrific, mate. And there is some fantastic racing. And I tell you what, didn't I just pick the old Stanger Moose about 8 starts ago here on the program? Tipped it for our audience. And ever since then, we haven't been on it, but it's won 8 straight. Or in fact, it's won 7 straight. It's going for 8 straight tomorrow night down there at Mandurah. It's been an incredible form.
It certainly has. Your tick of approval, Carl, was exactly the confidence boost that this dog needed to turn it from what was a good dog to an outstanding dog over the 405-metre journey. And as you mentioned, he's going for his 8th win in a row on Friday night. Look, once you start extending out these winning streaks, you just keep adding them and you get that sense that you're each win you have is you're getting closer to your next defeat, and he will get beaten at some point, but not likely to be this Friday night. He's got box one. He's got a great record from the pole, and I think he'll be extending that picket fence down there in the 405-metre free-to-all at Mandurah on Friday.
On Saturday at Cannington, it's the WA Bred Championship, and Sarong is the fastest qualifier, very aptly named after Caleb Sarong, won the Goal of the Year throughout the week.
Very much in the news at the moment, Sarong, on the footy field and on the greyhound track. Fastest qualifying run. Really nice effort from this dog last Saturday night. We have seen this from him before, though. He's a very talented young dog, but we've seen in the past where he's won the heat. He's looked good. He's gone into the favourite as the final favourite. The only final he's won so far, that was back in the West Chase back in early July. So hoping that he can turn it around. It was a nice run, though, one of his best runs for some time. He was able to hold off Jimmy's decision in a great battle between those two dogs. He comes up with the lemon here, box 5, Sarong, in the final. It is a tough one because there's a lot of good dogs in this one. Jimmy's decision was mentioned. That dog certainly got a chance. The other heat winner, Sunset Piper, is racing in really nice form. And the dog that was runner-up to Sunset Piper in their heat, Momentum, has got box two here. And it's a dog that's on the up and a good chance. This is a really good race on Saturday night. I know it's going to be overshadowed by another big event we've got here on Saturday, but it is on the race will be at race six on Saturday. That's at 8:49, the scheduled time there. So it'll be on after the grand final. So after all what's happened in the footy, you can tune in and watch this this really nice race at Cannington.
All right, JB, let's go. I'm going to put 25 wins on your tips. You're going to give us one on Mandra Friday and also Cannington Saturday.
Indeed, yes. For Mandra on Friday night, we're heading towards race 9, number 7, a greyhound by the name of Barillas. I think we may have tipped this dog on the show before. Anyway, he's a very handy young type. I'm not super keen on him from a wide draw, but I think just the way this field has panned out, I think he still will get a good look at it here and will be vying for the early lead. If he does happen to be up on the pace here, he's a very good chance. So that's race 9, number 7, Barillas for Friday night. And for Cannington on Saturday night, we're heading towards race 5, number 4, Tui Manelli. Now, I am looking for a little bit of a price here, guys. Let's hope we can get one. Firstly, let's hope the dog can get up and win, and hopefully it goes out at a decent price. Tui Manelli's only had the two wins from 19 starts to date. That doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence, but one of those wins was last week in a time that will be very competitive against this field. What I'm basing this on is I know the talent that this dog has had, and possibly we haven't seen from him to date. He won a maiden, it was a few months back, in a really nice time. He has had some problems since then, and I'm hoping that the win that he had last week is an indication that he is getting back to what we know that he can produce. So hopefully he'll get on to a little bit of a roll now, Tui Manelli. So we're going to back him in race 5, number 4, at Cannington on Saturday.
Beautiful, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care.
Good stuff, guys. Thank you.
James Broadhurst there. So Hayes has got Mandra on Friday night, race 9, number 7, $25 on the nose, and at Cannington on Saturday, race 5, number 4. For me, in my chase for charity tip for Greyhounds WA racing against motor neurone disease, been in good form, I'm going to back in Hickory Manelli, another one of the Manellis. Race 5, number 7, 25 each way, just needs to get away for a good start, and we are home and hosed. I should put the 50 on the nose, but I'm not going to. Going to go conservative, 25 each way to get some money for motor neurone disease. We'll come back after the break and I will wrap up the rest of Sports Day after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now we finish off here on Sports Day with On This Day for Bauer and O'Day, because the little things are everything. On this day in 2017, US President Donald Trump withdraws invitations to the White House for the NBA champions Golden State Warriors after superstar player Steph Curry says he doesn't want to attend the Baron Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. Simon of Coburn, you are the winner of the Gage Rhodes and Mrs. Max pack, the carton of Albie beer and the Mrs. Max Pies pack, two iconic legends of course, sport here in Western Australia. Thanks to the great range and friendly service at the Bottle-O, they're independently owned by the locals. Gotta love your local, gotta love the Bottle-O. Just repeating, the sad and breaking news tonight is that former Carlton president John Elliott has passed away in hospital at the age of 79, being remembered as a rule breaker who soared high and fell hard. I'm sure that there will be more about him tomorrow. John Worsfold, he will be joining Michaela Carr tonight on the night shift. Stay tuned for that here on 882 6PR. Looking forward to hearing from my old sparring partner. He spent some time at Carlton and will be able to reflect on the career of John Elliott with Michaela tonight. And tomorrow here on Sports Day, we'll be getting into our grand final preview. We'll be playing Nearest the Pin. We'll give you the chance to win one of our great prizes here on Sports Day. And of course, we want you to predict the grand final winner, the margin in the grand final, and the Norm Smith. So that will be what we are going to ask you to do on 133-882 for our program tomorrow night. Thank you very, very much for your company. Fast approaching is the 8 o'clock news, and then it will be Michaela Carr taking you through to midnight. In the absence of Todd Johnson, we'll see you again tomorrow from 6.